From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. Today, we are just delighted to have two of our communicators par excellence for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. We are joined today by Karen Young, who is the editor of the National Association of Postal Supervisors' official publication, The Postal Supervisor. And we're also joined by Karina May, who manages NAPS's digital and social media footprint. So welcome to NAPS Chat, both of you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having us.
First, let's just sort of talk about the difference between the two mediums to which you sort of are coordinating. Karen, a postal supervisor, has been in existence for quite some time, and that is something that postal supervisors from the very creation of this organization is sort of familiar with, correct?
Yes.
And how have they been using the postal supervisor since it sort of been established?
The magazine is the organization's voice to its members. The way it has disseminated information, legislative information, postal service policies, really, it is has been the main communication tool the organization has used for its members.
You know, as I look around my office, I have bound copies dating back to 1949. Now, Karina, I don't have any sort of digital footprint from this organization. Probably for how many years would there be a digital footprint for the National Association of Postal Supervisors?
Well, I'd say the last 5 to 10 years. It's much newer than the magazine, that's for sure. We right now we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. We also do video on YouTube. So it's a different way of communicating now that we have the internet and people are communicating in real time.
The way in which we communicate via postal supervisor is a printed copy that's sent through the United States postal system, right, Karen?
Yes.
How many folks do we send out the Postal Supervisor magazine to about?
The print run is probably almost 27,000.
Now, Karina, our digital footprint, whether it be the web page or other channels by which we participate in social media, what is our reach within the social media realm?
Sure, great question. It really varies by channel. So we've got a few thousand followers on Facebook, but then we have more who visit the page and might not necessarily follow, but they come and visit and see what we're sharing, and then they often comment or email or post questions or send us messages through that channel. We have an email list, so we're often communicating with members in that way. Our email list right now is about 17,000. So that, of course, brings a lot of traffic to the website and is also a different type of vehicle that allows us to share different types of information to our members, whether it's information about events or legislation or local branch activities. So it really depends on the avenue that we're communicating the information.
Now, with the postal supervisor, if I'd want to sort of share the postal supervisor with one of my colleagues, I would copy it on a copying machine, or I would in some way reproduce it or scan it in, right?
Yes, or hand them your copy to read. And we also post each issue of the magazine on the website.
Ah, so that is shared medium. Social media actually enables the print media to have a further reach.
Yes, and it's also a timing issue. The day that the issue goes to the printer, it is posted to the website. So it's there instantly, whereas it's maybe 5 days getting printed, and then it enters the mail stream. And depending on mail delivery, you know, you're talking at least a couple weeks.
So for NAPS's presence, let's say, on the social medium, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or whatever, the way in which I would share that is through a link.
Right, correct.
Which is a little bit easier than running over and finding a Xerox machine.
Definitely, definitely. Times have changed, and so it's great to be able to share links and track visitors to the website through these avenues. It's definitely different from print magazines because you can't really tell when someone reads an article, but I think, you know, both are very important, but in different ways. And I think being able to share some of this information electronically just adds another layer to the print magazine in terms of letting people share it and comment on it in a real-time way.
There's something, having something in your hand that, you know, it comes in your mailbox, it's there, you see it, you're very likely to look at the cover, maybe read a couple headlines, and that gets you interested in turning, looking in the inside. And you also, many of us spend all day in front of our computers, and sometimes the last thing you want to do at night is be on your computer again. So having a hard copy magazine makes it easy to sit down, thumb through it, and get that information.
I think that's a really good point, because I think, you know, we have shifts in our demographics here at this organization and in the Postal Service, and we want to reach people in the ways that they prefer to receive information. And so when we're delivering this content in these different ways, we're able to reach older and younger audiences.
Interesting about content, and I've sort of musing about this within a magazine format or a print format. A, I am limited in content. I have to prioritize what I put in the 40 or 50 pages of a magazine. In contrast, on social media, I may not be limited because there are no pages per se. I could just continue streaming or blogging.
Right. And everything's in real time these days. So, you know, as soon as the news hits, we're sharing it. As soon as we receive a comment, we get a notification and we can respond back. So they're just very different ways of getting the information, sharing it, and speaking to our members.
One of the criticisms of social media has been that it destroys English grammar. Or the Queen's English is not sort of a attribute of social media, that punctuation and so forth, which we are very attentive to in print media, right, Karen?
Absolutely. And we have the time and the ways to multiple levels of proofing and making sure as best as possible we do get it right and that it's accurate.
So let me ask you, Karina, when somebody or when I post something online, although we are very, I would say to our listeners, we are very attentive. You can assure that the accuracy of the stuff that we post for NAPS is completely accurate. But generally speaking, social media per se, what they might read from other sources may not necessarily be terribly accurate.
That's very true. You see a lot of mistakes these days or grammatical errors just because so much is being published so quickly. There are editorial layers that have been removed just because information exchange happens at such a fast pace. So here we try to avoid that, of course, but it's become more and more common, unfortunately, to see those kinds of things on the web.
We can bemoan the people's demands these days of getting things instantly. They want their Amazon packages instantly. Everything is instant. And it would be nice to think that we could sit back and relax a little bit. But the reality is that's what people, the more you get the instant news information, the more you want it.
So let's talk about NAPS's communication through the two different media, print media, social media. In print media, is almost a one-way communication. We as NAPS, Bob Levy, when he writes a column, I write a column, or Brian Wagner, our president, or Ivan Butz, our executive vice president, Chuck Mulador, when they write their columns, they are communicating one way in print media. And the only way or the way in which someone would respond to it or interact is a letter to the editor, correct?
Right, right. Or they send an email to one of the resident officers letting them know what they thought of their column in the magazine.
Now, Karina, if I'm in social media, it's almost two or three-way communications that I can communicate in real time with the author of that piece or with you, and different individuals can react to each other absent the person who wrote the article.
Very correct. We see that often, depending on the topic. The social media forums are more of a three-way communication because you have individuals who are commenting on articles or links that are shared. You have people talking to each other. We have people sending in questions that might be, you know, private messages. So there's a lot of different ways that we communicate on social media. And again, it's very real time.
Within the social media, there are different forms. You have blogs. And we generally view ourselves, Facebook, as sort of a quasi-blog. We have Twitter, which is sort of a micro-blog that you sort of communicate, but only in a certain amount, limited number of characters. Then there's Instagram and LinkedIn. How do we as NAPS use those different tools of social media?
Sure. So Facebook is a great forum for sharing updates about the organization, sharing information about events. We've got LTS coming up, the Legislative Training Seminar. We've got the National Convention coming up later this year. So we're sharing information on how to register. We're sharing information about what the focus areas will be at those events. We're also sharing information that we receive from the local branches or the area VPs about what's going on throughout the country. Instagram, we're doing that as well, but it's all based on photographs. So we're sending photos. We really love to hear from our members. So if you're out in an event, we want to get photos from you, and we want you to send us information about maybe what legislator you've met with or what has happened at your local branch meeting, or do you have new branch officers that have just been elected. All those things are things that we want to share on Instagram visually with pictures. LinkedIn, it's a more of a professional page, so we're more focused on event updates and issues that revolve around, you know, things like what's going on at LTS and things that revolve around, you know, trainings and seminars, things that really focus on enhancing your career. And then we're also on YouTube, so that is a forum where we've posted videos from officers here at headquarters. We've done some live streaming at events and shared them and archived them on YouTube, and we'll just continue to do that as we capture more video.
Karen, now that we were talking earlier about generational differences in how we communicate with people, younger postal supervisors, member of NAPS, are more comfortable dealing with social media. How do we, for those younger people who are more sort of comfortable with that, how do we make the print media accommodate them or basically attractive to this group, which is sort of digital savvy?
Well, I think the magazine also features photos of members as the social media, and that's really important to the members to see themselves in print. I think it's important to have a graphically appealing publication, lots of color, and just print media still has its place in this world. And I think I know it's important to use both methods, especially when we're trying to get younger postal supervisors interested in joining the organization. But I still feel that a magazine, a hard copy magazine, has its place in the world.
Yeah, one of the things we discussed last week's NAPS chat with the resident officers was the 5-year strategic plan of the Postal Service, and part of that strategy is wedding physical mail to digital communications. And Karen and Karina, you both sort of are familiar with how we wed the two channels of communication. How do you work together to communicate to the broadest possible NAPS audience?
Well, I think there are kind of two answers to that. One is we like to share a lot of the articles and information that's in the magazine so that there are more eyes on it. But the other piece of that is, you know, we don't want to have everything the same in every channel. So there are things in the magazine that you're going to see that aren't necessarily posted on social media. Or it might be different photos or a different viewpoint from a different member. So we try to, you know, kind of expand the reach as much as possible. But then we also want there to be some differences so that people can get those different experiences.
Well, I think the magazine is almost like the base, and it starts from there. And then Karina is able to be very creative in disseminating that information further.
So it's ability of the same basically the same information packaged differently, potentially for different audiences. Is that what we're sort of, or is it the same audience, but information packaged differently?
Well, I think it's both. So I think, you know, with items that are printed in the magazine, we definitely want more eyes on that. And not everybody is going to read the magazine. But then you have certain people who are not going to go online or they're not on Facebook. So we kind of try to do both to get the biggest audience possible.
And I think, you know, depending, like I said earlier, if you want to sit there with a magazine in your hand or if you want to be on your computer screen, you're able to make that choice.
Yeah, one of the experiments that we've done here, and I think it's been somewhat successful, maybe I'm wrong, is the initiation of NAPS Chat and podcasting, because podcasting using the internet is a exploding type of social media. So I just would like to ask both of you, What's your reaction to that? Are people actually listening to this? I hope they are.
Well, I think it's fantastic because I think that it's another way to reach people. And I think you're exactly right. Audio and podcasts are extremely popular now. And, you know, we live in a society now where there's so many different ways to reach people. Decades ago, it was maybe radio, TV, and mailings. And now you've got the internet with every different kind of channel known to man. You've got hundreds of ways to reach people. And so I think adding the podcast in is one more way to reach people. You do yours every Friday, once a week. So I think our listeners and our members know when to expect the conversations that you have with different members of Congress. And I know you've had lots of different types of people on your show. You've had the resident officers come in and talk to the members. You've had different, I think, area VPs and people from the branch level. So you have a wide variety of topics that you address and people that you speak with. And I think our membership really appreciates that.
And it's helpful to take a topic and dive into it a little deeper. And when you have a conversation like this, one question or one response may lead to something else. And then there've also have been, depending on the impact of the podcast, we've reprinted coverage of that in the magazine, more on the legislative side. But when something of real interest comes out of the podcast, then we've shared that in the magazine.
As we were talking about two-way communications, if I am a NAPS member and I want my views or I want to engage in, whether it be through the Postal Supervisor magazine or I want to engage with regard to comment on the Facebook or digital media, how would I approach it first in the magazine? I'm a NAPS member. I'm from somewhere out there in the United States. I see an article in there that really gets my juices flowing. What do I need to do to participate, to engage in this conversation?
Well, we have thoughts from the branches. One is one of the columns in the magazine. You can always write your opinion or expound on what you think about the issue and send it into the magazine. And once it's basically okayed by the resident officers, it can go in there. You could write a letter to the editor. But the magazine definitely welcomes offerings from the members and would like, it's their magazine, so they should feel that they are a part of it.
Karina?
On social media, we invite all members and non-members, anyone, to follow us, to comment on the posts, to send us questions via private message. We also want to share information. So if there's an event that you're at or there's something that you've participated in recently that you'd like to see on social media, you can email us at socialmedia@naps.org. And we usually review those same day or next day and try to get that out as soon as possible.
So there are ways in both channels of communication for a NAPS member to actually engage in the communications, not only with the NAPS headquarters, but because they appear in the magazine, their views are shared probably with United States Postal Service headquarters and with their colleagues out in the field. And that makes an impression.
It does. But that's also a reason why you have to be somewhat careful what you publish in the magazine, because we have to keep a good face and represent NAPS to the best of our ability and, you know, not be say things that might be inflammatory or taken the wrong way. So it's looking at the big picture.
And from a social media standpoint, we welcome all comments and we welcome photographs and information about what's going on at your local level. We do try to keep it constructive. So while we do, you know, want to hear your concerns, we also think it's very important to keep these forums positive.
Well, with that, I want to thank both of you, Karen Young, the editor of the Postal Supervisor magazine, and Karina May, who is our coordinator of digital and social media. Thank you for coming here today and for sharing your perspective on communicating with our members at the National Association of Postal Supervisors. With that, I'm going to wish everyone a great weekend.